Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. Perhaps you've heard the common statement, there are no accidents. Have you heard that said before? Is it true or is it false? It is true. No matter who says it, it is true. Now, I've done some research on this. It's quoted by a lot of people, even some more philosophical type people. It's quoted in some movies. It's quoted in a New Age setting at times. But if you understand the biblical perspective, it is a statement that is true. There are no accidents. Tonight, I want us to notice in a simple way that God perfectly attends to every detail of your life. Sometimes we can get away from this fact. We know it's true. It's a very basic thing that God is involved in the details of my life, but I want us to think about it a little bit tonight. You see, if we actually don't forget it, we could actually forget that we remember it, even though we do remember it. And here's what I mean. We can believe that God's involved in all the details of our life, but live not aware of that, responding to things as though he's not. If I took a brain scan of your thought processes and your responses to things the last week, how many of your responses, words, actions, and thoughts show me that you know that God is in control and he's working that and that and that and that out, that he's there? How clearly, even today, have you recognized that the details of your day have been perfectly attended to by God? Now, that doesn't mean he does everything that's bad that happens in your life. The point is, behind the scenes, he's there and he's in charge, and nothing's outside of the big scheme of the plan he has in place. Everything's going to work the right way in the end. How about the weather? God chose the exact weather that he intended for today. So if you complained about it, you didn't remember that you remember that God is in charge of that. How about your physical health? There is thinking out there today that if you are right with God, God will bless you with great health. That's not always true. Sometimes God will bless you with health challenges for other reasons. But he is in charge of your physical health and how it transpired today. He is in charge, working behind the scenes in the encounters that you've had with people. That could be the encounters you have with people in your house. It could also be the encounters you have with people outside of your house. Now, I read an interesting statistic recently that something like 0.001% is about how many people in the world you're going to meet, of all the people that there are in the world, in your life. So there are many, many, there are billions of people in this world, right? And you will only probably ever cross paths with about 0.001% of those people. That's remarkable. There are so many interesting, fascinating people, many of which God is really working in their lives. They would be a blessing to you, you know, on paper, but you're never going to meet them in this life. Because God is actually going to orchestrate your paths to cross with just the people that he wants you to. That's a little frustrating that there's people I'm never going to meet, neat people, but God's in charge of who I meet. Even today, he's in charge of the things that you remembered and the things that you forgot or the things that didn't come to mind. You ever have thoughts come to mind and you wonder, how does that happen? How do thoughts come to mind when I didn't decide to think about that initially? A lot of times what you can say is God allowed that or caused that to happen. The mistakes that you made, that was not a moment in your life that got out of God's hands. If you spilt something or lost something or tripped on something or bumped into something or broke something or messed something up, God, that was not a moment when he stepped away from the control panel of your life. He was just as much behind the scenes there. the circumstances that surprised you? Was there anything today that happened that you didn't expect, that you didn't anticipate, that threw you a little bit, a little shocking perhaps? God was there. Developments in world events. Do you know that anything that happened in the world today, God was not away from the control panel? God's in charge. God is at work. And that's encouraging. It reminds me that in life, as life unfolds, the experience that I have, my plans, my decisions, are not distant from the plans and the decisions that God has and the intentions. Now, there are some wrong ideas about providence and things like this. Let me mention them. The next slide gives us a list here of some things. Next, Daniel. Thanks. Luck and fate. Luck and fate are ideas that are not biblical ideas. They are popular ideas. They're hard to define, hard to express. But the idea is that life happens without any intentional plan or purpose, really, and that an ominous, foreboding, and perhaps even fickle possibility exists of a bad turn at any time, and you really have no control over that. It just happens. That's fate. It's waiting to spring at any moment. While there's also always the possibility of a good turn, luck, you might call it, but it's also capricious and unpredictable and cannot be controlled. However, neither of these ideas has anything to do with a personal being making choices that affect what's going on in your life. Then there's this idea of history. Perhaps you've heard this or said this in the past. Now, well, I have history on my side. The idea being, well, I've studied history and I know what has happened in the past. And you know how it goes. The way things have happened in the past is the way things will happen in the future. Now, there's some truth to that because of the way things are, but not because history is a neutral process that repeats itself like an assembly line. Okay? It's not just that way because it is that way. There's a reason why things are the way they are. Or you might consider this, that some people say that life is like a finely wound clock. It operates according to its nature. The gears turn as they should, and it's a very predictable thing, as though life were a mechanical thing. Now, life does follow principles and laws. We understand that. But you have to ask the question, who made the clock, right? There's intentionality here. The future is predictable. We have to recognize that in some ways. But it's based upon certain principles of life that God has built into life. However, we also need to understand, and this is exciting, because the future isn't necessarily 100% mechanically predictable. God may have some different ideas that he didn't put into practice in the past, right? There may be some things in the future that are not replicated in the past. God is not bound to the past. He is only bound to fulfill his plan. And some of his plan may look like the past, and some of it may take new turns. And that's exciting. Progress, this idea, this is another idea that's wrong. Progress, the idea that the world and people are always improving. It's just the way things are. You might call it natural selection or the good of humanity continues to triumph or something like this. The idea of evolution, that things always are shedding the negatives and improving in the positives more and more. And that's, I know that's oversimple, but it was really becoming a very popular idea for a while, especially in the Western world. It's interesting that in most cases, ideas of how things go do not apply to everywhere in the world at one time. But we talk about the world as though everything in the world is like it is for us here right now. But in the Western world, it was popular to say that things were getting better and better and better and society was improving until the world wars hit. And that really threw a loop in things. So what is the proper view about providence and chance and what is going on in your life and the world? Proverbs 16:9 is one verse that I'd like to look at. It's simple. It says this, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." You could say a man in his heart plans out his life, but ultimately it is the Lord that is directing his steps, guiding his steps. There's a lot here to chew on, a lot to think about. But here's the idea. There is, as we make choices in our daily living, we have to be aware that as we make choices, there's a greater, quieter way in which God is ultimately attending to every detail, including your choices. This does not mean that God does, or that you can blame God for wrong decisions. You can't make a bad decision and say, well, I had to make it, God made me. No, you can't say that. You also can't say that you cannot change from a bad decision to a good decision. You are responsible to stop making bad choices and to start making good ones. But in the whole scheme of things, every decision that you make is not a decision that you make that God stepped away from. God is always there attending to things, overseeing things. And if you make a bad decision, you're not messing things up. He's able to make appropriate provision for that and continue to work out his plan. For instance, if you make a bad choice, what are you going to get for that bad choice? You're going to get a consequence that is totally in line with God's plan. And there are certainly aspects to this that we can't fully describe and explain. But the fact is that you make choices every day, but God is working things out. It's an amazing thing. Proverbs 16:33, just a little farther down in the chapter. Here's another verse, similar. A lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And here there's a little bit more of an emphasis, not on your human decisions, though there's an emphasis here on that, but a slight different emphasis on circumstances. The lot is, in many ways, it's like the dice today, not entirely the same, but very similar approach, where if you need to make a decision, you're not sure what to make, and all the decisions seem somewhat equal, cast a lot, or you roll a dice, or something like this. And the numbers that fall out are the numbers that you get, or the stick you pull is the stick you get, and that's what you go with. Do you remember in Acts, they needed to replace Judas Iscariot, and there were two men equally qualified, and they certainly prayed, but at the end of even their prayer, I was still a horse apiece. And so they cast lots, and they prayed that the right stick would be pulled, I think it was, something like that, and it ended up on Matthias, and they took Matthias, and they accepted that as from the Lord. They didn't know anymore, and they didn't pretend to be so spiritual that they could read into things that only God could see, so they just casted lots then. We don't do that a lot today, but maybe we will find a time where we should have to do that. I don't know. But I would even say this, even in trivial things, without getting too silly about it, if you're playing a game and you roll the dice, the way those dice fall, God did not step away even from that. God is in charge. God is working things out in the world. Can we explain this fully? No, but we can state it. If the Bible says it, we can say it. I make choices, but God really is the one in charge of them. Circumstances happen, but God really is the one in charge of them. Let me give you some examples. We know this one. Genesis 50, verses 19 through 20. Genesis 50, 19 through 20, you have Joseph. And I don't have this printed, so let me turn there. Joseph, of course, you know his story. It's an intense, very long story. And throughout the entire story, it's really not a fun situation. Joseph, we know, he grows up a favorite child. His brothers of 12, he's the 11th. God was in charge of that, the birth order and everything. His 10 older brothers hate him. They despise him. They throw him into a pit. They think about killing him. They sell him into slavery. He gets a good job. He gets falsely accused, gets thrown into prison. He gets forgotten about in prison and eventually ends up ruling the world. But if you have the time to meditate on that story and you put yourself in his shoes, decades went by and he's stuck in this situation, this cycle, and it's just not good. How many of us have went through a protracted, intense situation of being falsely thrown into prison? Or go into situations like this, your life, your youthful years are going away from you. Your reputation is shot. And what do we see about all of this experience? What was he thinking? Verses 19 through 20. Joseph said to his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." They had bad ideas. God had good ideas for their bad ideas. I can't explain that. And Joseph was mature enough, or somewhere along his journey, it occurred to him. I don't know which it was. He probably didn't start out this way. But he realized, all of these bad ideas that I'm getting the brunt of here, there are good reasons for them. And God is responsible for the good reasons. Stop and think about that right now. You're not in prison like Joseph was, but do you have any bad things going on? Do you have any challenges that you're facing? Head scratchers, pain, agony, frustrations, misunderstandings? Are you handcuffed in any way, figuratively speaking, not able to solve something that you want to solve? God is in charge, and no matter what people mean by what they're doing and causing in your life, God means something good to come out of it. If you wrote down all that you're experiencing right now and have experienced with that in mind, that is an amazing thing to think about. There's the example of Joseph. There's also the example of government. Government. And many things could be said here, but I simply want to raise this example. The same Roman government system. Now, yes, emperors came and went, and some of the local political officials came and went, but the overall system of the Roman government ran on certain principles and laws and perspectives, and it was not a godly government, to say the least. It was the same government that ultimately crucified Jesus. It killed James, tried to kill Peter, and eventually destroyed all of Jerusalem, and eventually took Christians and threw them into the lions in the Colosseum and lit them up like torches and all these things. That same government also was used by God in the Acts passages that I've mentioned to preserve Paul's life. They were used to preserve Paul's life at Corinth, outside the Jerusalem temple gate, at the Sanhedrin, and even from a Jewish plot on his life. So when you look at government and you say things are really out of control, realize that God can accomplish his purposes through a bad government, whether the outcome looks bad or good. Jesus died on the cross, and was that good or bad? Well, yes. But it had to happen, right? James died, but God used that to make an impact in the church. They tried to kill Peter, and God didn't let them. God overruled, and God used that. We have testimonies of believers being persecuted by the Roman government, but we look back at those testimonies, and we're inspired by them. We're not discouraged by them. And at the same time, you read, and wow, they're stepping in and saving Paul's life. God can do what he wants to do. It reminds me of Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he will. It doesn't matter who's in charge at the end of the day. God's even behind that. Let us remember that. And God can take the heart of that person and turn it whenever, wherever he wants. He's also working in your life the same way, by the way. And then, of course, the example, not just of Joseph and of government, but the example of all things. We know this, right? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He works all things out, but he works all things out for the good to them that love him and who are called. It begins with this: none who are called, none who are redeemed are going to be cast into the lake of fire. All will be brought into his family. All will be glorified. All will be changed to be like him someday, fully, completely. Sin is going to be extracted from your being down to the very last micro particle of it. Every littlest vestige of sin in your being will be eviscerated someday, because God is actually getting to that right now in your life. The battles you're fighting and encountering are all a part of that process. Are you a child of God? And then, to be very specific, do you have things in your life? Things? What are things? I don't know. It says all things work together. What is your thing? Things. What is your trial? What is your challenge? What is your quandary? What is your difficulty, your frustration? What is causing overwhelm for you? You know, God is there. He's behind that. That is not a part of your life that he missed, that he forgot about, that he turned his back on for a second. And then we're going to close with some thoughts here. Yes, there are no accidents. There's no such thing as fate or luck. History is not a natural course that happens naturally. And there is not some impersonal force that controls your life. God, as it were, he is like, if you were to look behind the scenes in what's going on in the world and your life and how what's going on in the world affects your life, if you were to peek behind the curtain, you would see that all of your life, not just parts of it, or the spiritual parts of it, or the big parts of it, all details of your life are on the table in the sight of God, and he's got the little spectacles on of the diamond cutter, and he's at the table bent over, and every facet of your life is under his masterful care. Any detail you can think about right now, it's on the table in front of him, and he's giving it 100% focus, and he's carving, and he's crafting. There's pain involved, and there's other elements that he allows to come to bear at times, some of them more complex than we can understand. But he's fashioning you. You say, that's not logical, because how many people are just sitting in this room? He can't have that kind of focus on all of us the same way. He's got to have a lot of tables, and he's got to be walking around supervising. Yeah, a little bit here. Okay, yeah. No, chip that off over here. Yeah. Oh, don't mess that up. That's not happening to him. Every one of us has the 100% focus of his attention on our life, and all facets of the things in my life are working out for the good, and that diamond's going to be amazing someday. Some of us are stubborn. Some of us don't cooperate very well. And sometimes he has to take big whacks at us. Sometimes other forces he allows to come to bear. But at the end, all things are working together for the good. It is a remarkable thought to stop and think about all things. Just take today. There were no accidents today. Did you see anyone on the subway on your walk who was just smiling and you saw them? God placed that person right there for you to see that. Right there at that moment. Everything. It's amazing. He's been working on you all day. How many of you have heard this? Maybe you've heard me talk about this before. I don't know that I've mentioned it in the pulpit yet. I'm going to close with these thoughts. Here's a statement. Tell me if you know anything about it. Jennifer, you probably will. It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known. Anyone know what that is? It was said by a man named Sidney Carton. End of a Charles Dickens novel, the very last line of A Tale of Two Cities. It's very famous. It is a line that makes 100% sense in the most masterful way if you know the story. It's an amazing story. If you've never read Tale of Two Cities, do it. Or find a way to get familiar with it. And that line is an amazing end to an amazing story. And you're left saying, how is this story going to end right? I don't understand. This is going to be really weird how this ends. And it ends perfect. That line is the capstone. It's one of the reasons why I like to say that life is like a Dickens novel. Most of what Dickens wrote, I don't know if he was a Christian, but the one thing he had down was he wrote a story. He knew how to make it end right, whether you wanted it to end right or not. All the characters seemed to kind of really get far apart. The plots got really far apart. But in the end, it always came together right. And you never walked away doubting the ending. And it makes you think about life. And I like to remind myself that life is like that, not because of chance or history or something, but because there is a God who makes sure of it. He makes sure that everything ends exactly right. He's in charge of everything, and he doesn't forget anything. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He that sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting." So here's that balance. You can't say, well, I do bad things because God wants me to. You can't say that. You still are responsible. And at the end, God is able to say everything was right. I'd rather him say everything is right and be able to look at a life where right decisions were made. Instead of, I did everything right in spite of your bad decisions. That's not really where I want to be. God will be not mocked. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." That's encouraging in eternity. You do right, even if it looks like things. And that's one of the things about the Dickens novel analogy that I used. Things do kind of get out of control in the story sometimes. And you think the bad guys are losing, the good guys are the bad guys are winning, the good guys are losing, and it looks like it's getting a little messed up. And then in the end, it all ends up just how it should have. And I've lived, 34 years now in my life, which is not a long time. I know some of you are saying, you've got a long way to go, Pastor. But I've already noticed, it's a remarkable thing how that everything turns out right. I've lived long enough to see some stories begin to come full circle. I've lived long enough to see some things end that I know about in the beginning, even though I wasn't there. I'm able to look back and say, you know, God doesn't miss anything. And he doesn't make it happen any way except for exactly the right way. He doesn't butcher anything. Everything is exactly how it should be. And it's a warning to us, right? Number one, that I may feel like I'm getting away with things right now, but I'm not. Because God is hovering over that diamond on that table, and he hasn't lost sight of anything. And he's not going to be mocked. Everything will be addressed. And you may feel, number two, that you're not being recognized or benefiting, perhaps, from the good that you're doing and the sacrifice that you've put out and the choices that you're making. In fact, there are other people that seem to be having more fun and making more progress and being more free and independent or whatever, and they're not doing right, and you're trying to do right, and no one seems to pay attention. And it seems to be getting harder. Look, do it more. Because trust me, God is not going to be mocked. The story will end right. And those other people have a sad ending coming, I'm telling you. Don't be deceived. And then I think we can say what Joseph said to his brothers. Don't be afraid. Be of comfort. God meant it for good, even though you meant it for evil. I'm not going to try to revenge you. Because I know what God was doing. I'm thankful for you. Look at your life today and realize I should be encouraged right now because nothing is out of God's hands. It may feel like it. Remember what I said at the beginning? We know that God is in control, but sometimes we forget that we remember. Let us remember that we remember, and let us actually live every day like God actually is in charge. And there are no accidents, and everything is just another chip off the diamond of what he's doing. And tomorrow it's going to be the same way. View your life as God hovered over every detail. And you know what? Add to that that it's not just history going to be repeated. There could be twists and turns that are new. That's exciting, right? And enjoy tomorrow with that in mind. So, life. God perfectly attends to every detail of it. Isn't that encouraging? It's sobering, it's encouraging, and it's motivating as well.